Good day, and welcome to Sea to Ski with Sarah and T, putting the P in professionally managed vacation rentals. This is the Vacation Rental Management Professionals Podcast, coming to you from the Outer Banks of North Carolina.
And from the Rocky Mountains of Colorado. I'm Sarah Bradford from Winter Park and Steamboat Springs.
And I'm Tim Cafferty from the Outer Banks of North Carolina and Sandbridge, Virginia. Together, we bring you the first podcast focused solely on professionally managed vacation rentals across the nation, or as we like to call it, Sea to Ski
with Sarah and T.
In the next 30 minutes, we hope you'll join us on a journey as we dive into issues affecting folks like us, the professional vacation rental manager, allowing you to run your business more effectively, make more money, and most importantly, have fun doing it. And we welcome you to Sea to Ski with Sarah and T. Sarah, how are things in Colorado today?
Beautiful, sunny, 75 degrees, and lots of pollen making me sneeze. How are things over in the Outer Banks?
Lots of rain and humidity. Humidity is about 92% today, so it is sweltering, but we love it. This is why we do what we do. So today is a special day, Sarah, for us here at the podcast. We were introduced by today's guest. Do you remember that? Claire Reisberg is with us today, the co-owner and manager of Sand and Sea Properties in Galveston, Texas. So, Claire, do you rue the day that you put this two maniacs together, or are you proud of us in some way?
I'm incredibly proud of that, and I don't quite remember it.
It's all Claire's fault.
Well, I'm glad I'm getting credit, and I'm getting credit right on the podcast. It's an honor because you guys are doing an incredible job with this podcast.
Well, fantastic. We welcome you to the podcast. This is actually our sixth podcast that we have interviewed vacation rental manager owners, and it's gone very well. I think most people have really gotten great takeaways. So no pressure on you, Claire. We are looking forward to hearing what you've got to share. You've got a lot of stuff going on. But first of all, give us the rundown on the business and all that sort of thing.
Well, Sand and Sea was founded in 1974 by my mother and my stepfather. He was building beach houses, and people needed a way to be able to afford those beach houses. So my mother just said, okay, I'll try vacation rentals. And here we are 44 years later. My sister joined in 1983, my sister Ann, and she's also an owner. I joined in 2003 after a career in an entirely different field. I was in documentary film production in California. And when I came home, my mother had decided she wanted me in the business.
You're in Galveston Island. I have one question before we get into the topics today. Back 40 years ago, how did your mom find guests to stay at the properties? What was the medium? Tell us about the old times.
In fact, we talked about this recently. They would put ads in the Houston Chronicle, because Houston was and continues to be our main market. It was ads in the paper. They would collect addresses, and this was all on paper. This is before their first piece of software, which was FRS. They would collect addresses. They would do what looks today like mimeographs, but they were typed lists of the houses that we had available. And they would be mailed out to people or given out when they stopped in the office. It was a very different world back then. We did become one of the first companies to be online when we had a tourism website called Galveston.com startup. So in the early 90s, we were online. They would get an email asking about a vacation rental. They would forward it to us. We would email them back and or call them and book that rental. And then we would report the commission to them for the lead.
Wow. Kind of seems nice and simple, doesn't it, Tim?
Yeah. Boy, times have changed, haven't they? We were talking offline the other day, Claire. You were saying, of course, the company, 44 years and counting, but you've probably seen more change in the industry in the last 10 years than probably the other 34 combined.
Tim, you're absolutely right. And it's everything from rent by owners and listing sites to mega managers, to vacation rental restrictions, to an explosion of people being aware of vacation rentals and being interested in them, both to go into business and do vacation rentals as well as to become a guest at a vacation rental. And technology, of course, is huge in all of it.
So that's a great segue into something we wanted to ask you about. With all that change, you shared with us that you and your sister and your mom have been talking a lot about the why. And some of you have out there listening have focused on the why of what you do. Claire, can you tell us a little bit about how you've been using the question, what is the why for what you're doing?
We step back, and we've been doing this for almost 2 years now. We're questioning everything we do. We're looking at, where did this policy come from? Why did we write this response to a guest in this way? We have reviewed every guest touch that goes out in writing, anything from an initial email template and autoresponders to payment receipts and guest surveys. We've looked at everything and rewritten everything and updated it. Let me bring up an example that came up a couple of years ago, homeowner contracts. Well, in the old days, homeowner contracts were something that we would send out once a year. Come September after high season, we would update the homeowner contracts, redo the rates, usually increasing them, send them out, and then wait for them to come back in, arrange our brochure, and then mail those out, let our guests know that the new rates were online. Well, all of that has changed now, because with everything on the internet and people can book online and you have dynamic pricing, everything is just there now in real time. So, of course, we now have evergreen contracts with our homeowners. We're working with dynamic pricing. All of that changed, and that was a sea change for us from the old days. And Tim, I'm sure you remember those days, right?
I'm still living them. What do you mean? But that's fascinating, Claire, and it's so brave, I guess, for lack of a better word, because it is so hard to hold up that mirror. We use that term a lot on the podcast about holding up that mirror and looking at yourself and not necessarily liking what you see. Can you give us an example of some of the ugly things that you found, like, oh, I can't believe that's still there?
I'll tell you something that we realized wasn't clear. I think one of the things, we're trying to step back and look at things from a guest perspective who has been exposed to our rent by owner competitors, mega manager competitors, and listing sites. One of the things is the name of our company. Our company is named Sand and Sea Properties. Well, that worked for decades because realtors were doing vacation rentals. Mm-hmm. Now anybody does vacation rentals. So one of the things that we're working on now, and we just did it about 2 months ago, we went down to the courthouse, we filed a DBA for Sand and Sea Vacation Rentals, because we feel that we need to be clearer to guests about what we do. So sometimes it's those things that are looking at us in the face, we're staring at it, but we don't realize what it means to us, an established brand, been doing it for 44 years, and saying, you know, this doesn't work anymore. It works for the real estate division, but we need to be clearer with our vacation rental division.
Claire, I love this approach. And I want you to explain a little more about the quote unquote, the why, and then how did you make these things clear to you? So I feel like I was just talking to somebody else about this morning. There's so many things we do. We just do it because we've always done it. And to see that your name isn't quite right, that seems obvious maybe to everybody, but that's a really deep awareness you got to understand that that might not look as clear to somebody that's just approaching you and doesn't know you for years. So tell us about this why, the why concept. How does that work?
The why for us is really just looking around, and it is guest touches, it's homeowner touches, and it's also our employee touches, because we place a lot of importance on our relationships with our employees. So honestly, Sarah, sometimes we just stumble into it. So I was sitting with my marketing director, Tuesday Sloan, one day, and we're looking at an ad and we're saying, you know what? It says Sand and Sea Properties, but it doesn't really reflect what we do. We stumbled upon that one. An entirely different why is we have a question that we ask at our senior management meeting of our rentals manager every week. And the question is, what are you hearing from guests? And so for several weeks, we're hearing people want shorter summer stays. They don't want 7-night bookings. Well, we still have a lot of 7-night bookings. People have made a lot of them, but we're still getting so many requests for them. And so we're wrestling with how to deal with it. What will our homeowners think? How will this affect revenues? How do we communicate this to guests? What will it do to this tradition of two set turnover days where the inspectors and the housekeepers are geared towards these turnover days? This is a big why for us. Why are we doing it this way? And how can we adapt to the trends in the vacation rental industry, which are the antithesis of what we've been doing for so many decades?
Wow, I love that. And it's something a lot of us have struggled with in the traditional beach areas, that from Memorial Day to Labor Day, we only do week-long stays. And that has really perpetuated the brains of our homeowners. And we almost are fearful of even touching that because it's kind of in the sacred cow. I'm interested particularly in the communications piece about if you already have communicated that to your owners about what's coming down the pike, or if you haven't, how you're going to approach that with them to kind of get them on board, because you know there's going to be those guys out there going, we've always done it this way.
We have sent out a communication. We are getting the responses back. A lot of them understand it because they're out there renting vacation rentals themselves. They watch their calendars. They're watching them fill in. I have to tell you, though, the week-long rentals, and Tim, you understand this because you're in a beach community, those are the ones that are, they're beachfront. People come all week, and traditionally they rent for 7 nights. It is a very easy sell. It's the ones that aren't beachfront. But some of our homeowners have said, great, I understand it. I get it. It works. Others have written and said, will this still help us meet our goal, our financial goal for the year? Does this affect me? And many of them, it didn't, because they were already filled in for the summer. So it's a mix and it's hard. But one of the other whys that we've had this year is, why are we not doing a better job at educating our homeowners? I learned this on the podcast. Every homeowner newsletter now has some piece of education. It's not the usual reminders, block out your house, or remember we're changing batteries and your smoke alarms, but it's true education about what's going on in the industry, what the trends are, what's going on with mega managers, what's moving into Galveston, etc. And this is going to be another piece of it.
Sarah, I think we just had a pullover moment there. Anybody's scoring at home, that was really good stuff.
Yeah, my pullover moment was to ask your staff every week, what are you hearing from guests? Because how often do you really ask your staff that? Then the other pullover moment, I'm going to sum up the pullover moments here, Tim. The other one is that you're educating your owners and not being afraid to change things on your owners. We heard, I think, a couple podcasts ago from Michelle Hodges, when she shared her no VRBO approach with her owners, and she was surprised she didn't hear much back. You're saying you're sharing with some of these owners, they're going to be maybe less than 7 nights, and they're asking some questions, but they're not writing you hate mail. This past week, we sent a communication to our owners saying, we're going to take hot tubs in-house. We're not going to change the rates, so we're going to charge the same, but we explain the benefits of it. And I thought for sure there'd be people saying, wait, you don't even know how to take care of hot tubs. This scares me. Why aren't you charging me less? Blah, blah, blah. And all we heard back was, that sounds like such a good idea. So you don't have to be so afraid of your owners if you have a culture of continually educating and communicating with them. If you don't, I think that's the problem, is if you never change anything, you never tell them anything, and then all of a sudden you change it up.
I do agree with that. And also, you know, our homeowners send us communications they receive from other companies. And I see what the other companies are saying. And so what we're trying to do is also, in our education piece, is to show them how we're different. We love to point out how we were local. We are on the ground. We are smack in the middle of the 18 miles of beach that we service. We are not taking reservations in another state. Our staff knows about Galveston, and we send them to the tourism summits here in town. And we're big on education with them and them being able to service their guests. So educating the homeowners has become, it was a big piece of one of the changes that we made. I think the key thing I would say that prompted all this is I came back from a seminar and I said to my mother and Ann, and then later to our senior management staff, I said, we've been in business for 44 years. We have a fantastic brand in our market. We have a large part of the market share. However, we are a legacy company. We're a legacy company who's been doing things in a lot of the same ways that we've been doing them for decades. And it's time to take a look so that we make sure that we're here for another 44 years. That's one of the reasons, that was one of the drivers when we started looking at all of these pieces. The other thing is we're looking at the pieces, we're starting to look at our organizational structure, because what we realized is as we look at everything, we have to make sure that our organizational structure supports these changes that we're making and that our org structure supports this new world of vacation rentals for this 44-year-old company.
Well, you just said something there I want to seize on, Claire, and that is local. Let me ask you a question and quick follow-up. Number one, are you seeing mega national companies coming into your market and competing?
We are. So in Galveston, we have about 2,800 vacation rentals. We're an island that is a drive-to destination. Houston is an hour to an hour and a half away, 4 million customers right there ready to come to Galveston. And on the island, we have some resort hotels, and then we also have 2,800 vacation rentals. About 2,000 of them are rent by owners, and another 800 are professionally managed by either a property management company or what we call the mega management companies, because they're national, they're not really located here. And so our biggest competitors are rent by owners, quite frankly. We are seeing the mega managers move in now because we're a traditional resort market.
Well, and that's a perfect setup for my follow-up question. And that was years ago, 44 years ago, whatever, local was assumed, but that's not the case anymore. And so what you've described to us is that you are a local firm, locally oriented, but you have a national focus. You know what's going on.
It's true. We are avid readers of VRM Intel. We go to conferences. We talk to people. I think one of the most important things we do is talk to people in the industry, whether it's our vendors finding out what's going on or whether it's colleagues like you guys or listening to podcasts.
So let's segue that into, even though you're local, you have been a seat at the table in Austin. You've gone quite a few times, but then also you have created a group of local companies to form a really neat association I want you to share with everybody.
I'm a big believer, just like Mr. Twitty said recently, I'm a huge believer in having a seat at the table. So I am on the board of the Galveston Hotel and Lodging Association. I am the president of GARM, which is the Galveston Association of Rental Managers, which was formed to not only promote, but to protect the integrity of vacation rentals on the west end of the island. I'm also on the Tourism Development Advisory Committee. So all of these things led to my having a seat at the table when Galveston was ready to adopt an ordinance. We had a situation where there was a true party house in the middle of a true residential neighborhood, should not have been there. Absentee landlord, owner, who was living in Arizona. And so we were there. We helped devise an ordinance that was really a win-win for the community. And it was threatened last year by a legislator in North Texas who had legislation that was crafted, or it was, shall I say, they were assisted in the crafting of legislation by some of the big listing sites. And they wanted to create a situation of state preemption, meaning that any law, any ordinance in any city would be preempted by what the state was passing. And the state tried to pass a law saying that any vacation rental could be put anywhere in any community. And in Galveston, we just didn't believe that. We believed that what we did in Galveston worked for Galveston, but it may not work necessarily for Austin or for Dallas or for Houston, and that every community had to figure out what works best for itself and the vacation rental market. So that involved several trips to Austin to testify, which I had never done before. And I hope not to have to do it again when they convene next year, but we'll see.
But you won the effort, correct? You got to keep what you're doing in Galveston.
We won the effort. One of the things that happened was is we did get a phone call. I joined forces with the president of a rent-by-owner organization here. So she and I took the lead, and we had what we called our posse. And every time an issue would come up or a crucial vote, we would put out the emails with talking points, and we had dozens and dozens of people that would inundate the email inboxes of legislators in the Texas House and the Senate. And it was tough, but we did win. It died. The legislation died, but we fully expect it to come back again. We were told early on in the fight that if Galveston, some people got very annoyed with us and we were going against a national trend. There are people out there that believe that there should be no restrictions in any way on vacation rentals. And we got a lot of pushback from the national level, but we kept saying this is a local issue and people have to decide what's right for their community. And as a community that is based on a tourism economy, we figured out what worked for what neighborhoods and what way. Our ordinance, by the way, I'm really proud of. And if I can just take a moment and say, it has four key points. You register, you pay your hotel tax, you obey all local nuisance ordinances, and you provide a 24/7 contact. So if the city or the police need to reach you, they can. It's that simple.
Kudos to you on that. I want to go back to this GARM, the Galveston Association of Rental Managers, because you didn't do that just for political activism. You guys got together, saw a common need, and solved some operational problems there too, did you not?
You're exactly right. So in 2003, just after I had first heard about rental restrictions at Verma, Michael and Rosemary Sarko were talking about it. We came back and we watched a subdivision on the West End back on the Bay get shut down very quickly when the subdivision changed their deed restrictions and they outlawed preventing vacation rentals. And we sat back and said, wow, if it can happen that quickly in this subdivision, Spanish Grant Bayside, it could happen in others. So six companies got together and we decided to create GARM. And in GARM, we created a few things. First of all, I had to meet with people. I met with HOAs. I met with different neighborhood groups. I listened to their concerns. And it was easy for me. I had just come back. So it was no skin off my back to listen to people yell at me and throw tomatoes. And there were three problems: trash, parking, and noise. So we got together, these six companies, and decided to address them. And these are the things we came up with. We adopted common registration forms. So the guests at all six companies, and to this day, sign the same registration forms and a guest code of conduct. Each of the company owners, we signed what's called an owner code of conduct. And basically, all of these are about good neighbor policies. I think, and the most important thing is we hired and still have to this day 24/7 off-duty police officers in police cars, specially trained to take care of our guests. Because most of the guest issues are they're too many cars are parked there, or they're making noise, the radio's too loud, you know, something like that. And they know how to deal with that situation because these are people on vacation. Most importantly, the neighbors have someone to call if there's a problem. We have daily patrols. And also important is the officers know all of our houses. They know who's supposed to be there also, because every Friday they pick up lists or emailed lists from each of the companies that are in GARM.
That is amazing stuff. That is another pullover moment. That's probably a pull over and park it for a few minutes while I write down these notes moment. So good on you.
It really is. I mean, if any neighborhood could do that, it's incredible that you have that set up. So my last question about all the seat at the table and creating GARM, it sounds like you spent countless hours traveling to Austin and back, meeting with all those HOAs locally. This is a big time investment. And someone that's listening might think, oh, yeah, that's nice, but I don't have time for that. And how does that equate to money for my company? I mean, let's just get to the capitalist question. So can you just give us a little color on how that has helped your company selfishly to have these seats at the table?
When I first came to Sand and Sea in 2003, my mother said to me, I want you to take over all the marketing, and I want you to make sure that in town, in the city of Galveston, they know that we're out here and doing vacation rentals. And so my mission was to make sure that I was out there representing vacation rentals. And this was 2003, a very different time than it is now. First thing I did was join the chamber. I was on the chamber board for 7 years, and then these other things that I talked about earlier came up. And it's important because when you're seen as a leader in the community in your industry, you get to influence policy, be it a homeowner association, be it a city ordinance, or called on to help at the state level. And I do want to point out everything I've done is from 2013 to 2018. So a lot of these things evolved over the years. I always encourage people to get involved and to have a seat at the table and influence policy instead of fighting against it later on after it's been adopted. That's what would really cause us grief and time and money.
All right. So we warned you in advance, it's that time. It's time for rapid fire. Are you ready, Claire?
Love it. I am so ready.
Okay. This is our silly and somewhat offbeat questions where we learn more about you and your company, and you can answer in a few words or expand as you wish. And so, Sarah, you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, let's start the clock. Claire, what's your dream job?
Oh, working at Sand and Sea. I love it.
So good to hear. Claire, when you take photos of properties, do you set the table or leave the table plain?
Leave the table plain. We want our guests to imagine what it would be like if they were in that property.
The one you've probably prepared for that we've asked every single episode. Email checking. Do it all day or a couple of times a day?
3 times a day, in the morning, around noon, and around 4 o'clock.
She's my kind of girl. What deal do you give to second, third, fourth year return guests?
We have what's called Beach Club. And Beach Club is our guest loyalty program. And with each night that you stay, whether it's in our least expensive or most expensive house, you earn points. 5,000 points get you a free weekend at a Sand and Sea beach house. And so when people ask for discounts, we have them for our military personnel. We have things like that, but we encourage everybody to join Beach Club, and our guests love it.
Okay, Claire, what store do you shop at the most?
Nordstrom. Nordstrom online.
My next question is, do you do lawn care at your homes in-house, or do you contract it out?
Contract it out.
Okay, follow-up question on that. Landscape yards or your properties in a more natural beach and vegetation environment?
They're both, and part of it is if you're beachfront here on the island, there are state dune regulations that govern what people can do, and we're in a harsh environment right on the beach on an island in the Gulf of Mexico, so it's tough.
Claire, how many of your employees have company credit cards?
3.
Who's your favorite NBA basketball team?
Vacation rentals can be very, very stressful. Running a company can be very stressful. NBA season's tickets to the Rockets are my stress reliever. I always tell my staff, you would not recognize me at a game. I'm up out of my seat. I cheer. I yell. I wear my Rockets red. I am in my seat for tip-off. I don't like to miss tip-off or even the opening announcements. Basketball keeps me going, and I love that there's 40 games a year, and we go to every game unless we're out of town.
All right, next question. Do you or your sister have any owners that text you, or is it just phone call and email communication?
It's mostly phone call and email. I think the texting comes more with our property services manager, who's working very quickly and in and out at their houses and checking things. There's more texting there. We are going to be moving to a lot more guest texting in the next few months.
Having your own commercial laundry, best thing you ever did or major headache?
Best thing we ever did. We went and traveled and looked at some laundries in the Outer Banks and in Alabama and Florida. And it has been not only important to the bottom line, but important to the quality of linens that we provide in the houses. And we've got a wonderful supervisor over there. And it has been, I'd say, one of the best things.
Do you provide your guests a welcome gift when they arrive? And if so, what is it?
Well, everybody gets a great Sand & Sea tote bag at check-in, which they love, and Sand & Sea hats. If they're VIPs, they're return guests, special occasion, somebody who is coming to visit and they're on leave from a deployment, they always get gift baskets. And in our gift baskets, it's a beach bucket. It is a bottle of wine called Beach House Wine. It's more hats. It's our water bottles. I think we put in some peanuts and some chocolate, some kind of goodies with it also.
Front desk check-in or keyless entry for your guests to arrive?
Both, but mostly front desk check-in. We're in a drive-to, and it's really important to see who's renting the houses because, as we all know, 18 and 19-year-olds will grab their parents' credit card, and they will make those reservations online, and they will show up to check-in. And our minimum age is 25 here.
Okay, my last question. When an owner wants to refurnish or redecorate, do you have a go-to interior decorator you use?
If they don't have their own, we do have one who works closely with us, and we refer to her.
I've got two more quick ones for you. First of all, I forgot to ask earlier, your favorite all-time member of the Houston Rockets?
Oh, Hakeem Olajuwon.
Ah, good.
And he still comes to games. He's always at the games, and when they introduce him, the place goes bananas.
Final question. Fill in the blank. University of Texas is?
My alma mater. I graduated in radio, television, film there.
As usual, you don't win anything, but you do have our appreciation for playing.
And we don't really have a not so hot off the press, but definitely happening this week, except for the one I want to mention is that you should check out the new tax rules that have gone into effect this year. They will affect your business. Tim and I are not going to bore you to death telling you about them, but are not so hot off the press is that you should check them out and make sure you're doing things to save yourself money.
Okay. All right, Claire, thanks very much for appearing on the podcast. I will say one thing before we go. My wife was saying the other day, there was a tropical storm we were watching, and she goes, you know, I always think about your friend. And I'm like, which friend? Every friend I have seems like is in the crosshairs of a tropical storm. So I hope you have a quiet hurricane season this year and you have a great summer.
Thank you, and same to you.
Okay, Sarah, that'll do it for this week. So long, everybody.
Okay, bye, guys. Bye, Claire. Bye, Tim.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Sea to Ski with Sarah and T, Professional Vacation Rental Managers Podcast. Brought to you by Sarah Bradford of Winter Park Lodging Company and Steamboat Lodging Company, as well as Tim Cafferty of Outer Banks Blue and Sandbridge Blue Realty Services. Together, Sarah and Tim manage more than 600 privately owned vacation rental properties, and both are regarded as experts in the vacation rental management industry. Music provided by Ben Sound. We encourage your participation on this podcast by sharing it with friends, and please feel free to rate and review the podcast on iTunes. Comments or reviews on this particular podcast can be made on their website, seatoski.com, where you can also subscribe to the podcast as well as provide them feedback on this episode or give them ideas for future topics. We look forward to speaking with you next time on Sea to Ski with Sarah and T.